love. In Helen Wright's research, which is amplified in chapter 10 of her book, Your Divinity Revealed, she indicates there are 47 different terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses for love when one is studying how God as love is utilized. There are 7 terms that are used as opposites for love. We are providing this list of words as a PDF and highly recommend that they be reviewed and studied as a part of the study of this treatment. The first 6 words could be studied together because they have a connection. The first one is abide, then accepts, affection, amplitude, anoint, and ascension. If we focus thought, speech, and action on the word abide as it applies to love, one will get a better understanding of God as love if one abides in love. If the focus is on abiding in love, there is a direct connection to God that is increased in magnitude. It is amplified. That's one of the first 6 words. Abide, accepts, affection, amplitude, anoint, and ascension. Mary Baker Eddy stated that the magnitude of the humanity of Jesus enabled his divinity. That's a paraphrase. So our amplitude of abiding in love is going to enable us to be closer to the quality of love as it is used by Mary Baker Eddy. The second one is accepts. Now, we cannot abide in love unless we are accepting the fact that love is a quality of God. Mary Baker Eddy states that love is life. So we have a better amplitude of life if we are abiding in love. Mary Baker Eddy also uses principle with love. So we have a better understanding of principle if we are utilizing love as we are striving to emulate principle. So we have to accept the fact that God is love in order to be able to abide in love if we're going to try to cultivate love as a quality that we amplify in our life. Affection is the third word, and affection is certainly based on spirit. Spirit is flawless and the only substance. So if we're going to have spiritual affection, that is going to be impersonal and it's going to be universal. It's like the number 7 in mathematics. It applies no matter who is using it, no matter where you are, what the circumstance is, it is universal in its application. The same would be true as impersonal affection. The 5th word is anoint, the 4th being amplitude, which was already discussed. And we want to anoint the word love. We want to let it be a guide that is special. Mary Baker Eddy indicates as a definition of God that it is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That's from page 465 in Recapitulation. Now, if we anoint love, that means we are giving it a superior category. And I just mentioned four of them: incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. So if we anoint love, that means we're going to let that be above, superior to anything unlike it. And notice that all of these qualities are incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. So they are not bodily, they're not lust, they're not human intimacy, they are impersonal. And just like Jesus loved impersonally, that's what we need to do, because that is the lasting love. And that enables the next term, which is ascension. We are ascending above the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. The next four also go together. And one is beauty, bestow, blesses, and bliss. So if one thinks about beauty, that again has to be impersonal beauty. Not the beauty of the flesh, but the beauty of the spirit. The beauty of the qualities. A good friend of mine was watching the Olympics. She and her husband, and I was visiting them at that time. And we watched the Olympics together for a few minutes, and she was looking at a gymnast, and she said, "Look at the grace that that gymnast is expressing." So there was wonderful qualities in what that gymnast was expressing, but she was not looking at anything except the qualities, and that was what gained her attention. And that's where we need to be looking for the beauty and the qualities. Now, we will be blessed and we will bless others if we are looking at the qualities that are being expressed that are spiritual qualities. And bestow is the word just before blesses. And that means that we are bestowing upon that individual the spiritual qualities that we are seeking to see displayed in another individual. Mary Baker Eddy said her most wonderful instantaneous healings was when she was looking for perfection in everything that she was resting her thought on. And she stopped several times a day in order to remind herself that she should be looking only at perfection. No matter what the topic was, no matter what seemed to come her way that was trying to interfere with her harmony, she would take devoted time and direct it to the qualities of perfection and related qualities so that she could keep her thought clear of any kind of cobwebs of materialism. Now, bliss is happiness, and we're going to be able to experience happiness if we are keeping our thought in a spiritual vein, because the only true substance is spirit, and that is flawless. So if we bestow upon others a view of spiritual qualities, that is going to bless them, that's going to share happiness, and it's going to put a big smile on our own face. The next one is chastens. Next one after that is coexistence, comforter, compass, complete, crown, and conception. So, love chastens. So, in other words, we are going to have a purified view if we let love in an impersonal way be our guide. And we will be coexisting with the Christ consciousness if we do that. And we will be comforted by that. And we will let it be our compass so that our guide will be down the path of truth and it will be inundated with love. We will be immersed in love as we do that. And therefore, we will have a better conception of completeness. Because love means that we are nurturing all of the qualities of God. All the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Crown is another term that we had used with some other qualities for God. And that means that we will have success in whatever we're doing if we follow these steps that are guiding us down the path of truth for the qualities of love. Conception, we have to conceive of it. We have to accept it. We have to let it be a part of us. And then we will be thinking and talking and acting with love, impersonal, spiritual love. The next few words are delivers, design, divine science, and encompassing. So what is delivers all about? Well, it brings us results. Love brings us results because it dissolves any friction. Mary Baker Eddy said that love is a lubricant. It's the oil of gladness. So it dissolves any friction. So it delivers success. It's also design. Well, the design is going to be coordinated, and it's going to be harmonious. It's going to be balanced. And that gets us into thinking about the next term, which is divine science. In other words, we are in the divinity of our thought when we are thinking, talking, and acting impersonal love. She defines divine science as love. If we are going to be studying divine science, we cannot exclude a major focus on love, because she defines divine science as love. Encompassing is the next term. So it is encompassing all of the qualities of God. For love means completeness. Love means motherhood. Love means that we are nurturing all of the qualities of God. We're nurturing mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, as well as love itself. It encompasses everything. The next few words, fulfills, fulfillment, fill, forgives, gives, glory, gospel, and grace. The first two, or the first three, are very closely related. Fulfills, fulfillment, and fill. So we fill our thought with the most pure thing we can do if we're filling it with impersonal love. And we will have fulfillment if we do that. So if we are fulfilling, which is really filling, and we will have fulfillment. Mary Baker Eddy did a special article about love your enemies. The next word is forgives. She says, who is our enemy? She basically says that it is our own thought that we have an enemy. So the first thing we have to do is we have to clear out our thought, because there is no enemy except what we conceive of as an enemy. We let human self-will get in the way, ego, whatever we want to call it, say, well, I'm going to stand on the principle of the thing. We better let divine principle be our only principle. Jesus told his disciples, forgive 70 times 7, when they thought we only needed to forgive 7 times. So he made it such a big number that we might as well forget about ever remembering something that we think someone else did wrong. 70 times 7, 490 times. It's such a big number, we might as well forget about it. Dale Carnegie, one of the great teachers of success in life on a human level. And he says, if there's a bad feeling about something or a problem that is seems to be overburdening, write it down on a piece of paper, stick it in a file cabinet. This was before we had computers, back in the early 1900s. And he said, then take a look at it 6 months later. He says, you will have a totally different viewpoint. And by the way, he made some very complimentary statements about Mary Baker Eddy. The next word is very interesting, for it is the word gives. If we want to forgive someone, that's a good place to start, by giving. If we see someone has trouble, instead of condemning them, that's a cry for help. Let's see what we can do to give to that individual. There was a movie that I watched recently that was a wonderful Western comedy that had a great message in it about this topic. They seemed to dominate the nearby city. One of the sons came in there and gunned down someone, and he claimed it was self-defense, but the new sheriff, who observed everything, and this was before he was appointed sheriff, but he said, well, he says, it might have been a lot of things, but it was not self-defense. And the son of the owner of the ranch had, you know, tried to get people to agree that it was all self-defense so he would get off the hook. The bottom line was that the individual that observed this ended up being appointed sheriff, so he put him in jail. And sooner or later, the father and his other two sons came to town to get this individual out of jail. And he walked in the sheriff's office angry. And after he left, he made a comment to his deputy, the sheriff did, and he said, he seems to be a lonely man. And he says, are you kidding me? He's angry. And he said, well, that's what I mean. He's lonely. It was a great Western, but the point is that he recognized that this individual that seemed angry and controlling to other people was lonely. So he just needed to have friends and companionship. So we should look to see how we can help someone that maybe has a bad disposition or is upset about something. Because maybe there's something little one can do to really help them. Because they might be searching out there, reaching out to try to get a solution, but just don't know how to ask for it. Giving never hurts. And that goes very well with the next term, which is glory. So we're glorifying God when we give, because we're indicating that there's not a limit on giving. And this is even if we think that we may be right and they may be wrong. There is no right or wrong with personalities. We need to do what Einstein said. He said, if you want to solve a problem, you cannot view it from the level where you observe the problem. You have to elevate above it. And of course, in Christian Science, we understand that the level above a materialistic view is a spiritual view. The next word is gospel. What are we going to look to as our standard? The next one is grace. Next one is heart. Next one is holiness, Holy Ghost, inspiration, loveliness, meets, mother. These all go together. If we're going to have a standard, which is the gospel, then we need to establish it, divine principle. What are we going to use as our system and structure? Even love is considered plan and design. What is going to be our plan and design with our system and structure? Are we going to express grace, which is the next word? Are we going to take to heart if there's someone that has a problem and see if we can help solve it? Are we going to give? How about holiness, the next one? Are we going to be holy in our approach to trying to solve a problem that we may be experiencing ourselves, or a problem that we may be able to help someone else solve? How about Holy Ghost? That is holiness. It is letting the spirit of the Christ consciousness be our consciousness. Inspiration, the next one. Well, we certainly need to be open to spiritual inspiration. How about loveliness? Are we going to take a gruff viewpoint? Are we going to return anger for anger? Are we going to return one evil for another one? Or are we going to do what the next word says, which is meets? Are we going to meet with the Christ? Are we going to open our consciousness to the Christ consciousness? Are we going to let it in? Next one is mother. Are we going to mother? Are we going to nurture the qualities of God? The next one is oil. Are we going to let the oil of inspiration smooth everything out by letting it dissolve anything that is unlike God in our thought? How about patience, peace, perfection, plan, purpose? Jesus said 70 times 7. Is that being patient with someone that we think needs to be forgiven? 70 times 7. Forget about ever being resentful to them. As mentioned before, it's such a big number. It'll be easier to be patient than to keep track of 490 items or 490 events or 490 temptations to be resentful. Peace, we can be peaceful very easy if we yield to what it says in Genesis 1. With every major statement in Genesis 1, and there's 7 days of creation that are mentioned, with every one of them, are we going to let, L-E-T, are we going to let what God has in mind for us to happen in our own experience? Are we going to open our thought and let God be the designer, the planner, the system, the structure? Or are we going to try to force human will? Perfection. Are we going to be thinking about perfection? Or are we going to be thinking about flaws? Are we going to look for something to criticize? There was an individual that became quite noted as a psychologist, but he had a very Christian thought about one concept, and that was, instead of looking for something that someone did wrong, look for something that they did right and compliment them on it. He was thinking about children that you may be raising, and he was emphasizing the positive effect that compliments have on an individual's, you know, personal self-worth, self-esteem, and so forth. But that's a spiritual quality, is to look for something that someone did right. In fact, that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy said. She took several times a day to stop what she was doing to think about just perfection, about everything that she could think, say, or do. She focused on perfection. Dr. Frances Fluno, F-L-U-N-O, is one of our listed authors, and he wrote a wonderful article on criticism of the original article in both text and MP3, and also there was a treatment done by Mary Baker Eddy Institute that expanded on his article on criticism, how to remove it and heal it. The next term is plan, and then purpose, and then rest and satisfies. Four words all connected. So when we have a plan, we must have a purpose, and we can only rest when we have completed the plan. And what is rest? We rest in action. So we're resting as we carry out the plan in actuality. And the next word is satisfies. So we can be fulfilled, which is love, as we rest in action and see the fulfillment of the plan in action. And what is our plan? The plan is the same, no matter what the topic is. It is glorifying God. It is living the qualities of God as life. It is nurturing all of the various qualities of God as love, because that's what a mother does, nurtures. And what happens when we do all that? Well, we end up with the sublime, which is the next term. Sublime. It's the essence. It's the purified essence. And then we get the next word, which is salvation, which is healing, which is harmony, which is balance, which is fulfillment. And how wide does that spread? The next word says it all. Universal. Universal. That's the result. It puts out into the atmosphere of universal thought the positive spiritual inspiration that we gained by getting another taste of salvation from the sublime, from the satisfaction, from resting in action for a plan and purpose that is all spiritual in nature. It's so wonderful how it's such fun to see all this tie together. The more we study the qualities of God, the seven primary terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and see how the operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science operate with the seven terms, we are busy and having fun all the time that we're going up the ladder of success. Success of spiritual advancement. Infinite progression is concrete being. Okay, it was mentioned that there are seven terms that are opposites to the term love as God, or God as love. As Mary Baker Eddy has proven in many of her statements, you can say the terms in reverse order and they have the same meaning. So what are these seven terms? Curse, envy, hate, malice, fear, oppression, and war. Wow, they go together hand in hand. curse, we're cursing ourselves. We're probably envious. We're probably hating. We're probably expressing malice. We're probably being fearful. We probably are oppressing our own consciousness, and therefore we are at war with ourselves. We have one thing to address, our own thought. Curse, envy, hate, malice, fear, oppression, and war. I would like to have any single person tell me how those are not connected. They're totally connected. Totally connected. Just different forms of evil. Anything that is unlike God is connected to falsity. Just like everything that is God-like is connected to reality. I don't even need to explain these. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. And we've basically covered these in our other conversation. Belief of war right now. And we have articles. We have a whole page of articles on war. Covered very thoroughly on the website. We need to get rid of self-will. We need to get rid of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, mortal mind, electricity, hypnotism, mesmerism. That wipes all this out. It's very easy to see that if we love, we cannot hate. We cannot envy. We cannot have malice. We cannot fear. Mary Baker Eddy states that the opposite of love is fear. We cannot oppress ourselves or anyone else. We cannot be at war with anything or anyone about anything, anytime. There is no curse. That is a false impression. That's saying that there is a mortal mind. There is no mortal mind. The only mind is immortal. It is spiritual. It is made of spirit. Wow. God really does take care of us. He gave us Christian Science. He gave us the science of divine metaphysics. He gave us the system of divine metaphysics. Look at page 146 at the bottom. It's about system. Most people that read Science and Health gloss over it completely. I can't tell you how many times I've read Science and Health before I realized what it was telling me. It's like reading the manual. The manual of the Mother Church. It says right on there, this is the manual of the Mother Church. It's not the manual of branch churches. It's the manual of the Mother Church. If you live in Boston and attend the church there as your church, that's the manual to be following. The Mother Church has no authority over any branch church anywhere in the world, period. Board of directors, trustees, no one has any authority over a single branch church anywhere in the world. Do we even pay attention to what it says there? It says Mary Baker Eddy has to sign in her own handwriting many, many things in the manual for it to be effective. She designed it to be self-liquidating. The agencies, the departments, and so forth. She designed them to be self-liquidating after she was no longer here to sign in her own handwriting. And she says very specifically, the author of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy, must sign here or there or whatever. Do we pay attention to what we read? Will we pay attention to what love is? What God is love really means? Will we study chapter 10 in Your Divinity Revealed? How about chapter 4 on mind? 5 on spirit? 6 on soul? 7 on principle? 8 on life? 9 on truth? How about the 10 Bible lessons from Dr. Robert Putnam, one of the greatest Bible scholars and a very avid, devoted Christian Science student? Forget all of these people out there writing commentaries on the Bible. If you want the real truth, get it from a very serious, successful Christian Science practitioner and teacher, Robert C. Putnam. Or Rawson, Frederick L. Rawson. He wrote a book on 1,315 ailments. He's the one that discovered how to make retroactive treatments, where the treatment was taking effect before he was even contacted that there was a problem. All the tools are there, right on the website. It is expected that every earnest seeker of truth will take a serious look and start, if they're not already involved in, a serious method of study on a systematic basis, because that's what is needed for everyone. God is all. There is nothing but God. Every good thing comes from God, not from a person, not from me or anyone else. It is directly from God, if it is the truth. Amen.